Welcome to another edition of The Human Way. I'm your host, Matt Havens, and on today's episode, we talk with Jim Kelly about what it means to be for something instead of against something. We learn from his 30-plus years of experience in the events industry about the impact that COVID has had on this type of an environment and what we can learn from the change that comes in all aspects of life. You're going to be excited to hear from Jim. I had a great time with him, so let's get started. Jim, how are you, sir? It's good. So good to have you on the episode.
Hey, Matt. It's great to hear your voice. It's been a while, and thanks for having me. I appreciate it very much.
I'm very excited to have it. And you're right, it has been a while. So for those listening, Jim and I met, I think, 2 years ago now, doing an event together. And since then, we, like so many people, we've been able to stay connected via social media. So as somebody who at times likes to point out maybe the negatives of social media, this is certainly a positive one because I've been able to stay connected with Jim and follow along on the journey. And we're going to talk about that here today. But the first thing I want to talk about is what is all over your social media profile. And apparently during COVID, you have become an expert ukulelist. Now, I don't know, am I saying that right? Is that the right way to say it?
There are a couple things there. One, I don't even know if ukulelist is a word, and by no means would I use the word expert.
I don't know. I think so.
You know, I have I've zero musical talent. I've always wanted to play an instrument, and I decided that the ukulele was the best for me, in large part because it has four strings versus the six strings on a guitar. And I also live in a 950 square foot condo. So space was a big issue, but it's very therapeutic. You know, I take some time each week, a couple days a week. I do a little strumming. There's lots of online resources. Mm-hmm. And I haven't driven the neighbors away, and I haven't gotten any complaints from the condo association. So.
Well. Well, that is good to hear. I mean, let's be real. It's a joyous sound. You can't be in a bad mood playing a ukulele or listening to one. Is that just one of the things that during COVID, when things are slower, like, hey, I want to learn something new, and this is going to be one of my outlets.
Exactly. You know, I went from, you know, traveling at least 50% of the year, and you know, never had the time to do that. And I figured, you know what, you have this opportunity, make the most of it and try and add something new. I think, you know, that kind of goes along with one of my life mantras of being a perennial learner, right? And always trying to reach out a little bit and learn and find new things.
Absolutely. And that actually, to, you know, to speak to that sort of like life mantra, is one of the things I want to maybe start off by talking about if we can is, so like most times before somebody and I, you know, get on an episode and talk, we'll have, you know, some brief back and forth, just here's some things, here's some topics. For Jim, one of the ones that we'll get into here a little bit is just the events industry, because of all the wild and crazy impacts of COVID and what that's done. I think that'll be good and interesting for people to hear. But one of the things that you sent me, as far as like how you try to live life, I've actually already used in a different podcast.
Oh, wow.
And I used it because Jim and I had some technical difficulties last week. I started to record a second one with myself. And I love what you said. So I'm just going to read it here. You said, Jim, you want to be for something, not against something. Just tell me a little bit more about what you mean by that.
Yeah, I think, you know, that came to me early on in my career. When I was in sales, and I've long believed that there's nothing to be gained from talking negatively about another individual. And then I kind of carried that over into a professional setting of saying there's nothing good that can come from talking bad about my competitors. So I took an approach of, you know, being for the company that I represented and talking about what we can do on a positive realm. And then that just started to filter into my, you know, entire life mantra, and to take that approach that I'm going to be for something versus against something. I'm an avid baseball fan, and my team for all my life has been the Baltimore Orioles. I grew up within walking distance of that. You know, a lot of my other Oriole fans hate the Yankees, hate the Red Sox. It's an easy place to go.
Yeah.
But I will root adamantly for the Orioles. And if somebody from the Yankees makes a good play, I will give them the recognition for that.
I think that's a great way to approach it, not just in baseball, but in life. We're a split baseball household here. I am a lifelong Chicago Cubs fan. So finally, you know, we had something to cheer about a few years back. And my wife is a lifelong St. Louis Cardinals fan. And so I remember this would have been maybe 2005, six, my years could be off there, when the Cardinals won the World Series. With my wife and some friends went to the ballpark for the clinching World Series game. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I might be the saddest person in this entire place right now. Everybody's excited and I'm a little upset because the Cardinals won and not the Cubs. And I'd like to think that I could adopt your mantra a little bit and reverse that, if we could go back and just be excited for the moment. I can still root for the Cubs and I don't have to root against the Cardinals.
Well, and I think when you're for something versus against something, it's very disarming to the person that you're talking with, because to some degree they expect you to be negative, confrontational, even in a jovial manner. But when you take a more positive approach, you start a dialogue and a conversation, and you realize that you have more in common than you do as it relates to your differences. And I just think that I think it's a much better way to be, and one of the reasons that I probably sleep well at night.
Well said. But so, and one of the things I said when I saw this, when I was, kind of thinking about it and for the other podcast, is I feel like, unfortunately, we fall into this no a little bit more. We fall into being against, maybe like it, more so in a work environment, right? We can fall into this trap of being against an idea or against a new initiative or change. Why do you think that is? Like, why to be for something, it's almost like, oh, that's a new perspective. That's different. Like, why do we fall into this trap of sometimes being against something?
I think it's fear. I think it's a combination of being fearful of that and threatened and not understanding. And I think that comes down to, listening, asking the right questions, and having the confidence to advocate for what you are for, right? I mean, and I think, the team that I work with at Fern, we come at things differently and we disagree, but we know what we're for is growing the business and serving the customer. And at the end of the day, that's the common goal. Mm-hmm. And I think when you take that approach, and I think a lot of it also is an organizational culture, in that you have to give people the confidence to say no and feel comfortable saying no, and to professionally and respectfully disagree. And, that also comes with, with experience and age and confidence, but it also comes from, working for organizations where it's okay. And to some degree, it's expected.
It's expected. Yeah. That's one of the things that I talk a lot about and work with organizations on is, I call that embracing failure and using it to reject fear. And failure, I think is a term that we use too harshly. It's something I'm if I'm successful in life, I'm going to remove this stigma around the idea of failure. And failure comes in terms of sometimes of speaking up, disagreeing on ideas and being okay with that, because that's ultimately, I think, how we grow.
Along those same lines, one of the expressions I often talk about and say is the problem is not the problem in as much as the inability to solve the problem is the problem.
Yeah.
There's always going to be problems and challenges. And I work in the live events business. You know, sometimes stuff happens, and that's mm-hmm. a highly technical term, right?
Yeah.
it just happens. And you just have to roll with it and deal with it. And, you know, that's where companies differentiate themselves, when they can solve those problems, which are sometimes related to failures.
Absolutely. So let's get into that just a little bit. But before we kind of switch topics, I think if the audience could take a moment to just pause on that and think, okay, so how can we apply this? I think one of the challenges that I'd give to anybody who's listening to this is make this the day or make this the week that you be for something. And do a self-assessment to recognize what am I against? What am I maybe digging my heels in on that's against something, and make the decision and the choice to be for something today, this week, this month. It'll really change your perspective and help put you in a better spot. But switching gears a little bit, and I can go through a laundry list, because Jim, you have so many titles in what you do. You have so many balls in the air that I don't know how you keep it straight, but you know, title wise, what you do, Jim's a VP at the Fern Expo. He's on the board of directors at SEMA, which is the Corporate Events Marketing Association, and the board of directors at the Incentive Research Foundation, which is where him and I had met a few years ago. But for the listeners who don't understand all that, you work and have worked for a long time in the events industry. Can you just share a little bit about sort of what that means? And then in particular, if you could also then talk about the events industry has been significantly impacted, like so many others, by the last year through COVID. And if you could share a little bit about, you know, what that industry is like, but also what the last year has been like working in large events.
Yeah, I mean, the events industry, you know, has been very, very good to me. You know, on many levels. And, you know, at its highest level, it's about communities and commerce, right? It's bringing communities together. And in business events, where I focus, it's for the purpose of commerce, and also for continuing education. And the organization that I work for, you know, is this combination of a logistics company, a construction company, and a marketing company that builds the infrastructure that allows organizations to have those events. Mm-hmm. And bringing people together is really the focus of what we do, whether it's for a trade show, a corporate meeting, a board meeting, or a program that we did, you know, together for the Incentive Research Foundation. And you know, certainly, you know, in last year, when things happened, we, in a matter of 72 to 96 hours, our business came to a grinding halt. I mean, events took a huge hit, and we're still, you know, we're still suffering. We're starting to see some activity and traction, and things are starting to come back, but it has had an impact, right? I mean, when you think about, you know, the trickle down that it had, obviously, on the airline industry, the rental car industry. You know, one of the things that, you know, I read about early on in this was one of the challenges rental car companies was having was they had nowhere to park the cars.
Exactly.
Their infrastructure
They're normally out.
was not designed on all their cars being back. The impact on restaurants, people forget the impact that business events have on restaurants. You know, I live outside of Washington, D.C., and there's so many restaurants in this market that rely on business travel. And it's, you know, had a huge impact on the industry. You know, we've adapted, and we had to make some very, very difficult changes you know, as it relates to personnel and to the business. But a lot of that was ensuring that we are going to be available for our customers and for our employees when we come out of this. And we feel confident that that's going to happen. As I said, things are starting to break loose a little bit. Q3 and Q4 of this year look promising. You know, all the signs are pointing the right way with the vaccinations. We seem to have gotten things to a spot that people are having the confidence that they can get together safely.
Yep. And that's, you know, and so you just listed all the, like, the trickle down impacts, and, you know, that's one of the things that I think is important to recognize, with everything that we've gone through in the last year is, you know, particularly when you think of these large events, it's not just the event. I mean, so many people listening have gone to a convention before or a trade show, you know, as part of their work. And it's fun, exciting. You know, you see maybe like a big showcase floor. And we don't always think about all of the aspects that went in to making that event happen and run smoothly. Now, you and I, we get to see kind of the back end of some of these things, you more than I. But to the point of when those events aren't happening, it's not just that event. You're right. It's the restaurants in the area that aren't getting the business dinners or reservations. It's the I saw recently with the rental cars. Now we're having the opposite effect, is because right. They've reduced their inventory so much. It's almost impossible to get a car what are some of those changes that had to happen early on or more recently that in the events industry? What are some of the changes that you think you know, we might see a positive light on going forward? Like, these are changes that may positively impact the events industry. Are any of those changes coming to mind?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there's going to be a better integration of technology into much of what we do, right? I think that, you know, in many ways, the industry was still paper heavy, you know, that, I mean, one of the things that we've done as an example is we've completely revamped our e-commerce site in a way that's much more meaningful. You know, you're seeing that in restaurants, right? The touchless menus, the ability [S2] Yep. [S1] to pay by phone. I think there's going to be, you know, a greater value on the connection. And in many ways, I think that it's going to make the connections that we have face to face and back to what I refer to as in real life, you know, much more engaging and much more meaningful in that regard. And, you know, and I also look back at what happened after the tragedy of 9/11 with airline travel. And we thought that was going to have this huge impact, but look at all the efficiencies that have come out of that, mm-hmm. right? I live in Alexandria, Virginia. I'm 6.5 miles from DCA. And because I have Clear, I am out the door at my gate in 25 minutes when I'm flying.
Man.
And to me, that's out of the level of efficiency.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise, without something such as Clear or even TSA PreCheck, I don't know how long that line at the airport's going to be. So I'm adding hours to my day, mm-hmm. right, to get to the airport early. So I definitely think there's going to be efficiencies that come out of this. And I think that, you know, we're going to be better. And I think the past year has really re-emphasized the value that face-to-face experiences bring. I mean, there's a biological reason people need to get together. There's an emotional reason we want to get together. And there's certainly an economic reason that we get together. And, you know, when I was watching the news this morning, having a cup of coffee, one of the things that occurred to me, they were talking to a family that had been vaccinated. They actually were talking to a couple families. And what was interesting, they all said the first thing they were going to do was either hug their parents or hug their grandparents.
Yep.
And I think that shows the value of getting together and from an emotional perspective, right? And people need to do that.
Jim, you're so right. I'm actually reminded of, so my mother's actually visiting right now. And this is only the second time I think we've been able to see her really in the last year. And my daughter, before she got here, she wrote out a list of things that she wanted to do with grandma. And on that list, God bless her heart, my daughter wrote, hug each other. And it was this realization that I had that, oh my goodness, like my 7-year-old daughter hasn't gotten to hug her grandma in a long time. And it almost makes me emotional, thinking about it, but that personal connection that we all need, and it's not just kids, it's adults. We need to get out and safely get back to that personal connection. I believe that we will get back to that on a more regular basis. Like you said earlier, I think it's we're still probably a few months until it's really more comfortable for people, but I don't ever see that aspect of our human nature ever really going away.
No, I don't. There's too much value that it brings, and in the broader sense. I mean, I'm a big baseball fan, fortunate enough that I'm going to actually see the Washington Nationals on Thursday for opening day.
Oh, nice.
You know, I was one of the, we got tickets.
You got extra tickets? I mean, I can be there.
Come on. But I was thinking about that. And, my family were baseball people growing up. Last year was the first time in at least 50 years that I had not been to a Major League Baseball game.
Wow.
And that connection and we're going with friends who have also been vaccinated and, we're excited about it. And certainly I can watch the game on television, but it's not the same experience as literally the sights, sounds, smells, and the energy of being around others.
Oh, totally agree. That the energy that you can draw from other people can be magical in a sense. So, it's something I read about, maybe curious to other changes you might think about in the events industry or see from your side of things is I live in Dallas, and the Texas Rangers just announced that they're going to be having baseball games this year. And I found it very interesting, not something I had thought of, but they recently just built a brand new stadium, state of the art, everything, all that. And I was curious. I just went online to see like what tickets look like, and what they've done is they are keeping specific sections that will be socially distanced sections. Other sections in the ballpark will be everybody in seats as they would have 3-4 years ago. And I didn't think about that, but I think that certainly there's some merits to that. That makes sense. You're going to have different levels of comfort amongst people. You're going to have different, people vaccinated or not. So I thought that was a fairly smart move. But I'm curious, from an events industry, are you having to think about what events look like and adjust for these different scenarios?
Yes, certainly. I mean, when you think about capacities, right? And let's talk about the 6-foot distancing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, roughly equates to a 28-foot diameter circle that you have to kind of draw around each individual. That's greatly reduced capacities of events, right? Now, that could be a good thing, right? Nobody likes sitting at a 6-foot round table with 12 people shoulder to shoulder eating, sure. Right?
I've done that, yeah.
But, so I think in the short term, you are going to see some reduced capacities in venues, but that doesn't necessarily mean reduced attendance. And I think they have to be dealt with separately, and they are separate issues, right? And I think that business event professionals are doing a really good job of looking at scheduling and coordination of when people are in certain spots of the venue, right? So a reduced capacity in a room doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be reduced attendance at the event, right? It might mean that certain sessions might repeat, right? They might ask a speaker to do something twice, right? That might mean they might target meal functions to happen. You know, there might be multiple seatings for things, right? So that you allow people and you schedule things so that they can do different things at different times. I think that's going to continue to evolve and change as you look at the vaccination rate at the current run rate. You know, we're about 2.5 million a day. It looks really good for, you know, vaccinations for those that attend business events, right? That age population to really be, you know, fully vaccinated by July 4th. Right.
Yeah, they just opened in Texas. They just opened that up here for anybody, which is nice to see. So the math
in that regard is working in our favor, and I think too. I mean, people are going to be, you know, a little leery, a little safe at first, and that's okay. That's to be expected. You have to allow people to get there on their own in some ways, yep, where they feel comfortable. Like, I've been to 2 live meetings over the last 60 days. The first one, I was really nervous. The second one, I felt a little bit better. And then once I got vaccinated, it was in a whole different mindset. And I think that will come over time.
I think you're right. So then let me ask you this, because for anybody who may be listening, you know, maybe you're not in the type of industry or work in a spot where you're going to be attending these large types of events, but, you know, one of the reasons I was so interested in having you on, Jim, is just because, you, the events industry, we've all gone through a massive amount of change, in the last year. And so, I'll maybe ask for your advice or tips that you've picked up, but is there a positive or something that you've learned about dealing with change that came about in this last year that you think others could learn from, regardless of what maybe that change is? Because I think that's a challenge we still struggle with, is this maybe this fear of change, this of doing things differently. And we certainly saw that kind of early on in the pandemic, but you know, I hope and I think there is a lot to be learned by going through this change, by adjusting and seeing the light and coming out on the other end of it. So any advice or any things that you've learned over the last year that will help you deal with change going forward?
I think the two phrases that come to mind are let go and think again. Right. You've got to decide that there are some things that you just have to let go of, and they could be old habits. They could be ways that you did things professionally. I mean, we've taken this past year plus to look at a lot of our processes internally. Right. I think one of the things that anybody that's in business, you have this whole list of things you like to do, but you're so busy running the business day to day that you don't have this window of time where the business literally shut down, yep, right? So when that happened, we actually were able to do some things we wouldn't have done for a long time, and just think again. I'm a big fan of Adam Grant. I've been, you know, listening to his book about that, but it talks about it in the context of so many things. Like, think about how we can do things differently. Think about how we can do things, you know, more efficiently, and think about how you can do things more efficiently, right? I mean, I have to tell you, one of the big challenges for me personally was, you know, getting used to working what came down to an Monday through Friday job, because I worked in the events business. I was on the road all the time. And I had to rethink my cadence of work, and realizing that things were going to be different. And I think when you do that, I'm super, super excited about the future for the events business coming out of this, because I think there's going to be so much good that comes out of this. There's going to be higher quality experiences. The value of the interactions that are going to occur are going to be much greater, because people now understand how meaningful they were, and they're not going to take them for granted.
Jim, I wholeheartedly agree with you. You know, I believe that to be true as well. I've said this before, I'll say it again. I don't want to look at the past year and say good things have happened, because it's certainly a lot of people impacted, lives lost, all that. But in trying to see the positive from it, I know for me, and for so many people, it sounds like for yourself as well, it has reaffirmed this passion for others, for people, for interaction, for community. And I will take the positive from that and say, going forward, let's make sure that we don't let that go. Let's make sure we take the opportunities that we have to be amongst each other, to see family, to put the phone down during those meetings, and just be with people. So I'm very enthusiastically looking forward to those days and getting back to that as well.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, it has been a challenging and tragic year for many. But I think, again, you know, in the context that we've got to learn from it, we've got to make something positive out of it, and and we'll be better because of it.
We absolutely will. So Jim, I want to thank you for coming on, being a part of this. I mean, I've got a bunch of notes here. You know, I think from the audience's perspective, if we can be for something, not against something, and that's something we can implement right now. I think there's some things in our lives and work and our relationships that we could just let go, you know, do the Elsa on it and let it go. But I also love this idea of thinking again, you know, when we're presented with new information, when we're how we think differently with what we have. I think those are things that everybody listening can act upon. Jim, thank you so much. I am looking forward to this game that we're going to on Thursday. So I hope you don't mind me showing up, and I'm looking forward to hugging you when I see you.
All right, Matt, well, just send me your flight time. I'll pick you up at the airport. It's been great talking with you.
Thanks, everybody, Matt, for listening. Continue to comment. Tell me what part you enjoyed the most. I want to hear from y'all, and we will see you on the next episode of The Human Way. Thank you so much.